Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PURE Multifamily REIT second quarter results conference call. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for the operator. This call is being recorded on Friday, August 11th, 2017. I would now like to turn the conference over to PURE Multifamily's Director of Investor Relations, Mr. Andrew Gregg. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning. I'm Andrew Gregg, Director of Investor Relations for PURE Multifamily, and I would like to welcome you to our discussion of our Q2 2017 financial results. We'll keep our opening remarks on this call brief, trusting that you've had a chance to review our consolidated financial statements and related MD&A dated August 10th, 2017, for the 3 and 6 months ended June 30th, 2017. If not, the documents are available on our website at www.puremultifamily.com under the Investor Info section or on SEDAR. With me today on the call are CEO Steve Evans, CFO Scott Shillington, and Vice President Samantha Adams. Following our formal remarks, we will conduct a Q&A session, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up your questions. Before we get underway, I would like to make a safe harbor statement. The following discussion will include forward-looking statements that involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to be materially different from future results expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. These statements reflect current expectations of management regarding future events and operating performance, and PURE Multifamily assumes no obligation to update or revise them to reflect new events or circumstances, except as required by law. For a further description of the forward-looking statements, including risk factors related to our company and business that could cause actual results to differ materially from the results discussed in the forward-looking statements, please refer to our MD&A dated August 10, 2017, which is available on SEDAR at www.sedar.com or on our website at www.puremultifamily.com. I would now like to pass the discussion over to our CEO, Steve Evans.
Thanks, Andrew, and thanks everyone for joining us today. Q2 2017 proved to be a very active quarter as we commenced our property management internalization, completed two equity offerings raising over $138 million U.S. dollars, and we completed two acquisitions in Q2, with the third acquisition subsequent to the end of the quarter. Operationally, it was a weaker quarter due to several issues that are short-term and temporary in nature. We alluded to the new supply and property tax issues last quarter and indicated that they would continue to affect us in the coming quarters. On the acquisition front, on June 9th, 2017, we restarted our acquisition campaign in the Phoenix, Arizona market by acquiring the 152-unit Class A apartment community known as Park 28, located in the Arcadia submarket, for $29.7 million. And on June 15th, we completed the acquisition of the 264-unit Pinnacle at Union Hills, which is located in the North Phoenix submarket, for $47.5 million. Subsequent to the end of the quarter, we acquired the 306-unit Class A luxury apartment community known as PURE at La Valeta, located in the prestigious Las Colinas submarket of Dallas, for $48.8 million. In keeping with our strategy to reduce our overall debt levels, these three acquisitions were financed with mortgages at 50% loan-to-value. As at June 30, 2017, the debt-to-gross book value ratio across our portfolio was 49%. I'd like to remind investors that PURE Multifamily has 100% fixed-rate mortgages, and we do not have any mortgages maturing until 2019, with an average term remaining of 9 years until maturity. It is important to note that the conscious effort that we have taken over the past year to improve our balance sheet by reducing our total debt to fair value by more than 300 basis points has had a negative impact on our payout ratios. But of course, it is the right thing to do when building the best REIT for long-term success. We currently have between US $65 and $70 million in dry powder from the June bought deal remaining for future acquisitions. I would now like to pass the discussion on to Scott Shillington, our CFO.
Thanks, Steve. Before going through the financial highlights for the quarter, I'd like to note that all amounts stated on this call reflect PURE Multi's interest
as disclosed in the MD&A. We feel Pure Multi's interest provides the most useful information to the unitholders when looking at our financial results. Within the MD&A, we have provided a reconciliation that reflects these adjustments. At June 30, 2017, Pure Multifamily's portfolio consisted of 19 investment properties, with an average year of construction being 2006, comprising 6,209 residential units with an average unit size of 914 square feet, and was situated on 328 acres of land. The investment properties were valued at $962 million and had a weighted average IFRS capitalization rate of 5.25%. Pure Multifamily's net rental income continued to increase as the 3 months ended June 30, 2017 totaled $11.3 million compared to $11.0 million in the comparative period, representing an increase of 3.1%. The net rental income for the 6 months ended June 30, 2017 totaled $22.4 million compared to $20.7 million in the comparative period, which represented an increase of 8.2%. Pure Multifamily's operating margin decreased for the 3 months ended June 30, 2017, as it was 51.9% compared to 56.6% in the comparative period. For the 6 months ended June 30, 2017, the operating margin was 52.6% compared to 56.9% in the comparative period. The primary factors for the decrease in the operating margin were mostly due to an accounting increase in property tax expense, a decrease in overall portfolio occupancy, and continued stabilization of certain properties. General and administrative expenses for the 3 months ended June 30, 2017 was 5.7% against total revenues, compared to 1.5% in the prior year, and 4.8% for the 6 months ended June 30, 2017, compared to 1.5% in the prior year. The reason for this increase was primarily driven by the internalization of the asset management and property management functions. The additional cost incurred specifically relating to the internalized property management function was approximately $391,000 during the current quarter and $473,000 during the 6 months ended. Of the $473,000 incurred to date, $292,000 was non-recurring expenses related to the initial setup of the platform. It is important to remember, once we have fully internalized our property management function, Pure Multifamily will not incur a 3% third-party property management fee, as these costs will be captured within our own G&A expense, which we anticipate will be at a lower level than the historical 3% property management fee. This will result in an increased G&A expense amount, however, will benefit all unit holders, as we expect this will lead to additional FFO and AFFO through the savings from no longer incurring the 3% property management fee. At June 30th, 2017, Pure Multifamily had a debt-to-gross book value ratio of 49%, and the mortgages had an average interest rate of 3.74% with an average term remaining until maturity of 9 years. The FFO payout ratio for the second quarter of 2017 was 141.9%, or 7 cents per basic unit, compared to 80.9%, or 11.6 cents per basic unit in the prior year period. The FFO payout ratio for the 6 months ended June 30th, 2017 was 120.4%, or 16.1 cents per basic unit, compared to 86.3%, or 21.7 cents per basic unit in the prior year. Now, moving on to AFFO, we feel we have been one of the most conservative companies in the multifamily REIT space with our deferred maintenance calculation, as over the last three fiscal years, our deferred maintenance provision represented a percentage of total capital expenditures of 55% in 2014, 44% in 2015, and 39% in 2016, all of which were significantly well above the Canadian multifamily REIT average during those periods, this despite our portfolio being significantly newer than the Canadian REIT average. For the second quarter of the current year, our deferred maintenance provision represented 33% of total capital expenditures and 38% through the first 6 months of 2017. The AFFO payout ratio for the second quarter of this year was 153.6%, or 6.5 cents per basic unit, compared to 85.4%, or 11.0 cents per basic unit in the prior year. The AFFO payout ratio for the 6 months ended June 30, 2017 was 129.3%, or 14.9 cents per basic unit, compared to 91.1%, or 20.6 cents per basic unit in the prior year. The primary reasons for the increased FFO and AFFO payout ratios were due to the cash on the balance sheet resulting from the two equity offerings during the quarter and the deployment of this cash into new acquisitions, the additional G&A expense incurred due to the internalization of the asset and property management functions, neither of which were internalized during the prior year periods, the increase in the property tax expense, and the overall deleveraging of Pure Multifamily's balance sheet. To provide a little more color on the increase in property tax expense, if you recall during 2016, we had under-accrued the estimated expense during the first three quarters and had to true up the difference during the fourth quarter, as this was partially due to the number of outstanding property tax appeals at the end of the year. Of the seven appeals outstanding, two were settled during the first quarter of 2017 and none during this current quarter, leaving five appeals remaining outstanding. Because of this, overall property tax expense in Q2 2017 was much higher than in Q2 2016. Looking at this from a same property basis, property tax expense increased by more than 17% over Q2 2016. To put this in perspective, we expect to see an annual increase of approximately 7% based on our past experience. We believe this property tax increase will be reduced over the remaining part of the year when looking at a year-over-year analysis and end up within our expected typical range of around a 7% increase at the end of 2017. Our management's estimated NAV at the end of the second quarter is $6.75 U.S. or $8.54 Canadian using a 79-cent exchange rate. I'll now turn things over to Samantha, who will comment on the operations for the quarter.
Thanks, Scott. From an operations perspective, we're focused on occupancy, monitoring controllable expenses, and the internalization of our property management platform, including establishing a Dallas corporate office. During this quarter, we also rolled out the integration of our recent acquisitions in Phoenix, Park 28, and Pinnacle at Union Hills. As we discussed in our prior call, the operational changes that we have implemented have started to have a positive impact on our San Antonio portfolio, and our same-store revenue growth for Q2 was 2.4% over Q2 in 2016, excluding Pure View and Pure Estates. Occupancy at both Pure View and Pure Estates remained weaker at the start of Q2, averaging about 90% physical occupancy and 94% lease occupancy for Estates, and 87% and 91% respectively for Pure View. However, the trend in terms of occupancy continues to be positive, and at the end of June, Estates was 97% leased and 94% physical occupancy, and Pure View was 95% leased and 91% physical. Today, the positive occupancy trend has continued, with Estates holding at 98% leased and 94% physical occupancy, and Pure View at 98% and 96% respectively. Across the San Antonio portfolio, our average rent increases were 1.9% year-to-date and down 0.7% for the quarter, or up 2.9% for the quarter, excluding Pure View and Pure Estates. Our Dallas portfolio is performing well, and this is further supported by our same-store revenue growth for Dallas, which was 4.1% Q2 over Q2. The NOI for Dallas did decrease somewhat, as a few of our properties in Dallas experienced lower-than-anticipated occupancy due to some new supply challenges. However, despite the new supply, our same property average rent increased 5.3% year to date and 5.4% for the quarter. There's also some additional damage from storms that occurred late in Q2 that had an impact on operating costs that were unanticipated this quarter, but the biggest overall impact from an operating cost perspective was the increased property tax expense over the prior period. If property taxes were removed from our NOI analysis, our Dallas same-store NOI increased approximately 4% quarter over quarter. In Houston, our Deer Park asset has performed well and continues to maintain strong occupancy and rental rate growth, but much like our Dallas portfolio, the increase in property taxes has had an impact on our NOI. The NOI in Deer Park was down $79,000 compared to Q2 of 2016, and this was driven by an increase in the property tax expense of $99,000 this quarter. Walker Commons continues to experience higher vacancy and associated cost increases, and as a result, our same store revenue declined 0.7% Q2 over Q2. There are a few new developments that are in lease up in the area near Walker Commons, and we've experienced some slippage in occupancy as a result. However, we anticipate being able to deliver moderate growth across the Houston portfolio over the coming quarters, but we will continue to monitor the markets closely. Our same-store property average rent did increase 3.8% year-to-date and 3.7% for the current quarter. Our Phoenix asset located in the Chandler submarket has also performed very well. The Phoenix economy continues to strengthen, and our property delivered same-store average rent increases of 5.7% year-to-date and 5.9% for the quarter, resulting in revenue growth of 7.4% Q2 over Q2. On a portfolio-wide basis, at June 30, 2017, our properties had a 96.9% leased occupancy rate, and we increased our weighted average rental rate to $1,242 per occupied unit, or $1.36 per square foot, for the second quarter of 2017, compared to a $1,204 average rental rate per occupied unit, or $1.27 per square foot, for the same quarter of 2016. On a percentage basis, our same property average rent increases were 4.5% year-to-date and 3.2% for the quarter, or 4.7% for the quarter excluding PureView and Pure Estates. I will now turn things back over to Steve to wrap up.
Thanks, Samantha. In summary, Pure Multifamily continues to execute our strategy of building a high-quality Class A apartment portfolio in the strongest job and population growth markets in the U.S. Sun Belt. Our acquisition strategy has been to acquire high-quality properties in center-ice locations as we strive to build our business for long-term success. Successful real estate investing is difficult to measure in the short term. Q2 has been a noisy quarter with equity raises, acquisitions, property management internalization costs, corporate overhead, property taxes, and stabilizing properties all contributing to the noise. It is important to realize that the actual rental rates continue to grow in our markets. As stated by Samantha a moment ago, same property rent per occupied unit is up 4.5% year-to-date and up 3.2% Q2 over Q2. Our properties are well-positioned in leading submarkets and are in close proximity to demand drivers such as nightlife, restaurants, shopping, and employment drivers such as large corporate campuses. The pipeline of available high-quality properties in our target markets remains robust, and pending the completion of property due diligence, we expect to be able to make announcements relating to new acquisitions in the coming weeks. We are diligently working through the property management internalization process, and so far the internalization has progressed extremely well. We anticipate that we are on track to be fully internalized by the fourth quarter. We believe that an internally managed, vertically integrated property management platform will enable Pure Multifamily to build our brand and presence in our target markets while enhancing operational efficiencies across our platform. With our top quality apartment portfolio, strong U.S. Sunbelt growth markets, and additional efficiencies that our internalized property management platform will provide, we're very excited about the growth potential for Pure Multifamily unit holders. Perhaps a little context may be in order given the market reaction to our quarterly financial results. For an investor who invested in our IPO, they have enjoyed a total return of approximately 95% over approximately 5 years up to last Friday, or just under 20% per year. This does not include any currency gains. If you're a Canadian and invested in Canadian dollars, which many people did, of course, then you would actually be up approximately 134% over the same period, or approximately 26% per year, which includes the currency gain over and above our actual performance. These results exceed our apartment REIT peers for the same period. In my humble opinion, the present trading value represents great value in our REIT as we have actually improved our balance sheet and our portfolio over the past year. The economic drivers and apartment fundamentals in our core markets remain strong and will allow Pure Multi to continue growing our portfolio and producing solid results for our investors. We are preparing to move to the TSX main board, which we anticipate will happen in early 2018, and we believe this move will enhance our visibility to investors as well as we graduate from the TSX Venture. So on behalf of the management team at Pure Multifamily REIT, I'd like to thank our employees and directors for their hard work and loyalty, and of course our unit holders for their continued support. And with that, I'd like to open up the lines for any questions that anybody may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from Jenny Ma from Canaccord Genuity. Jenny, please go ahead.
Hi there, everyone.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
With regards to San Antonio, just wanted to get more color on sort of what's going on with the Pure Estates and the Pure View properties, because they seem to have consistently underperformed the market, because it looks like fundamentals are fairly healthy there. So is there some sort of local nuances that we're not understanding with those two? Is it location? I mean, I see that the rents have held fairly steady, but just some more color on you know, why those two properties have consistently underperformed, notwithstanding that it seems like you've done some good lease-up in the last couple of months.
Yeah, I think we discussed this on the last call. There were some sort of on-site management issues there, and we started making the change towards the end of Q3 into Q4, and I switched out the regional manager as well, and we started to see some dramatic improvements. I believe we started to see some dramatic improvements in the last sort of 3 to 4 months. And occupancy has been the biggest challenge at those properties. It's really not a location issue or a market issue. The way I've looked at it and the approach I've taken, it was really more of an on-site staffing issue, and we've made those changes. And I believe the results are going to be there, and I think that the current occupancy levels are showing that.
And how long has the current staff been on board? I guess since the beginning of the year, is that fair?
Yeah, beginning of the year.
Okay. Did you use any concessions to fill up Pure View and Pure Estates?
Yes, there are concessions in those markets. Concessions are actually relatively common in the San Antonio market as a whole.
Okay.
And concessions have been used to help with the occupancy. But the message to the on-site staff now and the leasing team is a simple one, and that is now that we are at a position where I believe the occupancy is stabilized, concessions are next on the list that need to go.
What kind of magnitude of concessions are you offering?
It depends on the unit, and it sort of depends on the size of the unit and the floor plan, and each property is a little bit different. It's anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks.
Free rent?
Free rent, yep.
Okay. And then for the two properties, should we look at them as like part and parcel and related to each other? Are they two different ones? Because I guess I understand there's typically some dislocation with leasing up new properties, but Pure Estates, having been built in 07, would be viewed typically as a stabilized property, right? Was there...
I think we talked about it, and I can't remember now. I'm sorry if this was Q3 or the Q4 call. We had corporate leases at Pure Estates, and they
okay.
all left in September. And I think one of the challenges, and I know that we've discussed this before on the call with the San Antonio market, leasing grinds to a halt November through sort of January, February. It's really
right.
quite remarkable. So the timing of those leases, the people leaving, was very unfortunate. And that was one of the properties where I made some changes on the on-site with the on-site staff.
Okay.
But yeah,
okay,
typically I would view it as a stabilized asset.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for us, it has not operated as a stabilized asset. I expect it will going forward, though.
Okay. Okay, that's good. So, Scott, with regard to the property tax increase, just trying to get a sense of the numbers here. So I guess for 2016, the property tax was, call it 41% of revenue. So if you're looking for a 7% increase, that would suggest the property tax percentage goes to about 44%. Does that sound right?
I will run the numbers and get back to you on that one just to make sure that we're looking at the same things. But yeah, it is basically the thing is quarter over quarter property tax fluctuations have a big impact on NOI, and because of the markets
mm-hmm.
we're in the U.S., we don't know our actual property tax for the year until we get to Q4. So we have to
right.
estimate during the first three quarters. In addition to that, there's refunds that come in. So there's nothing you can do about the refunds and the timing of when those come in. However, the best way to look at it, the smoothing of the property tax amount for the full year,
mm-hmm.
really you have to look at a full year over a full year because you don't know what the jumps are going to be. On average, like I mentioned, typically we've experienced about a 7% across the portfolio
yep.
Year over year. Every property is a little bit different, though. And then the only other additional impact on that number would be
tax appeals that you get in and when you get that in. But taking those out would be about 7%.
Right. So I guess if we go from 41 to 44%, then that would suggest like a 3% erosion on the NOI margin as a whole.
Correct.
Going forward.
Again, I'll run those numbers and get back to you afterwards. But
okay. But
assuming that's the right, yeah, it would be an erosion, which is why
okay. You
need increase of revenue to offset the property tax increases.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe I am maybe I'm picking on a detail here, but in your commentary about the property taxes, you mentioned an increase in an accounting increase in the property tax. So I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but does it suggest that given there were no refunds that came in this quarter and also some higher property tax assumptions that you guys have sort of booked the maximal property tax assumption for this year?
That's correct. We've, there could always be surprises, but because we haven't booked any of the refunds that have come in yet,
mm-hmm.
when we actually get those five remaining appeals outstanding, they will then come off of our property tax expense, where last year we had some refunds come in during the second quarter. So that by accounting expense, that's what I'm kind of getting at. It's just a timing issue. By year end, we expect to have all of them or almost all of them in, and then it would be smoothed out for the full year for the amount. And then we could true up and extrapolate that over the full year, but we can't do that quarter by quarter until we get to that point.
Right. So I know this issue first cropped up a couple of quarters ago, but maybe I'm mistaken, but I was under the impression that most of the increase in property taxes were sort of flushed through the Q4 going forward. So were there incremental increases between then and now that came in that you guys didn't anticipate?
No.
Or was it really the timing
of the refund?
You're right. We trued them up in Q4 of 2016 for the 2016 amounts, but because of that, the first three quarters in 2016 were under accrued. So we couldn't go back and spread this amount over those first three quarters. So if we could go back and spread those out, we would have actually had a higher base for Q2 2016 to apply
mm-hmm.
this year's again. In addition to the refunds that we received last year and we haven't gotten in this year, it would also be another adjustment to that.
Okay. So really looking at the 12 months, the full year property tax expense is probably the best way to look at it, at least on a go-forward basis.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So with your IFRS value, did you factor in the higher property tax expense in your NOI when you came to your 675?
Sorry, 675? Are you talking this?
Yeah,
oh,
your 675 management. Yeah, sorry, the management NAV, yeah.
Yes, we are.
Was it driven pretty much because of the property taxes?
Yeah, so we're having a little bit, obviously our NOI is dropping a little bit dropped a little bit in occupancy.
Yeah.
And the property taxes are driving the margins down for the most part, so that's why we dropped the NAV a little bit, correct.
Okay. And then my last question is with regards to the IFRS values, and I guess this is specific going back to San Antonio, but what kind of occupancy do those values assume? Is it reflective of actual occupancy, or does it take some sort of long-term normalized assumption? And I'm not sure if it would vary from property to property or market to market.
Yeah, it varies from submarket to submarket. We use appraisers, and they use a stabilized market amount. So we actually had one of our properties appraised in San Antonio this quarter, and just trying to find the exact number they used. I believe it was 94 or 95%. One second here. It was a 94% they used for the San Antonio market. And as we mentioned on previous calls, San Antonio always seems to be about a point or two lower than the Dallas market, for example. And so
mm-hmm.
the appraisers know that, and they use the standard market occupancy rate in the stabilized NOI performance.
So 94% for all San Antonio properties?
More or less. For the areas we're located in, yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, and I'll turn it back.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mario Saric from Scotiabank. Mario, please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning. Just to follow up on Jenny's question there with respect to IFRS, I guess more of a clarification. So with respect to the decline quarter over quarter and the appraisal occupancy levels being used, given the cap rate came down 8 basis points at the same time, it would imply that future NOI expectations have come down as well associated with that. So is it fair to say, or is it reasonable to say that the kind of the occupancy forecast over the long term going forward has come down quarter over quarter in the portfolio?
I don't think long term. As Steve mentioned on the, I think it was the previous quarter, we there's a lot of, most of our portfolio is in Dallas, and there was a lot of supply coming on in Dallas, which we expect to have it burn through by the end of this year and more stabilized come 2018. I was keeping that.
Yeah, there's going to be a lower supply coming in for completions in 2018, significantly lower than 2017's deliveries. And so we start to see a large light at the end of the tunnel in terms of the vacancy impact, adverse impact, I guess I should say. So, no, I don't think it's long-term, Mario. I'm not sure if that clarifies.
Yeah, no. Okay, and then how, just on Dallas and the absorption of the excess supply in the interim, how comfortable or how confident are you that is materializing or will materialize by the end of the year relative to 3 months ago? Have there been any demand or supply trend changes that would alter your view in terms of that excess supply being absorbed by, you know, by the end of this year and in 2018 being a good year?
Yeah, I think that we still believe that we'll see a positive trend at the end of the year in terms of our occupancy, as we'll have a lot of this behind us. That's not to say that it dries up instantly, because when you have supply coming on to a sub-market, you tend to see concessions trail for a little while thereafter, even as physical occupancy first improves. It takes a little longer for the concessions to burn off of the market or the submarket. So definitely a positive trend going into 2018 as compared to 2017, but not coming to a you know, we're not going to see an absolute end to it at a date certain. I think it'll linger a little bit.
Got it. Understood. Okay. And then as you mentioned, I guess in a number of numbers that you've mentioned on the call, it seems like the revenue seems fairly solid at 3.2% year-over-year. The variance, at least on our end, was more on the operating cost side. So outside of the property taxes, if we look at the property operating expenses as a percentage of revenue, they're up about 120 basis points year-over-year. What are some of the factors that are driving that, and how long do you envision those factors lasting for before you start to see a more normalized operating expense ratio materialize?
We actually missed part of your question, I think. Maria, you seem to cut out there, but did you get the gist of it?
I think so. I mean, part of the challenges with this past quarter, for example, was the drop in occupancy, which impacted our revenues. But in terms of operating expenses, everything was more or less in line. It states in view, and I know I keep going back to those two properties, because this was our first comparative period. In the quarter, 2016 quarter, as an example, we weren't fully staffed, just an example from a payroll perspective, because it was our first full quarter of operations as well. So there's quite a jump in operating costs from that perspective with PureView and Estates. And then at a few of the other properties, Park at West, also in San Antonio, and three additional properties in Dallas, were hit with heavy, heavy storms at the end of June, mid to end of June, which had an impact on property expenses as well, from repairs and maintenance, additional payroll costs, hit us at about four properties as well. I don't know if we'll have more surprises like that in Q3. We haven't yet. They seem to be in a bit of a drought at the moment. So I'm hopeful that we don't have any more storm damage moving into this quarter. But that was one of the bigger impacts for Q2.
Got it. Okay, and then maybe a question for Scott, just on the G&A side. I think Steve, you mentioned internalization will be completed by Q4. From a timing perspective, when do you think we see that kind of FFO neutrality on the internalization materialize?
Yeah, so I mean, just kind of looking at run rate scenarios for G&A, if we, assuming for a Q4, for example, if we're fully internalized, just pretend we get it all done for October 1st and there's no more property management fee being paid, it's all run through the G&A, we would expect our G&A overall to be between 5 and 6%, most likely in the lower fives as a percent of revenues, and that would be with no property management fees. So then you would take, to make it apples to apples, you'd take that 3% away from the G&A and move it back up to NOI. So we'd be between 2 and 3, most likely in the lower 2 is what we expect as a percentage of G&A. And then going forward, that would continue to drop even lower and lower because we wouldn't need to, we wouldn't have that same 3% increase on future acquisitions at our own G&A level because we have a, we'd incrementally go up but not by 3% as we continue to acquire properties. And that's where the unitholders would start to see the AFFO and FFO per unit kind of get accretive.
Got it. Okay. My last question just relates maybe to the acquisition pipeline and what you're seeing. And then from a leverage perspective, you've come down significantly to 49%, but presumably that'll inch back up again as you complete acquisitions. Where do you see a pretty good landing spot in terms of your leverage?
Sure. The 300 basis points that I mentioned is leverage to fair market value. You're quite right, 49% includes sitting on a fair bit of cash. So when we finish placing that cash in a couple more acquisitions, we're going to be something in the 53 to 54% range.
Yeah, I think if you we had the extra cash in the balance sheet from the June raise, as well as we when we acquired Pinnacle in the middle of June, we acquired it all cash and got the paid the mortgage in early July. So by removing the cash in the balance sheet and including the Pinnacle mortgage, I think we're somewhere around 54%. I think the plan is to continue doing low 50s to mid 50 mortgages on future acquisitions. So we want to bring that down, and if you're asking for an extra year, like Steve mentioned, probably somewhere around 53, depending on how many acquisitions we make. That would kind of be the target.
Yeah, and then going forward, we want to continue to chip away at that because we believe it's the responsible, right thing to do to build for long-term success. So, you know, we have 50% in our sites, would intend to get there, you know, excluding sitting on cash, but true 50% value versus value kind of debt, and then continue to chip away at it thereafter.
Are you willing to give us a bit of a timetable on that?
I think it'll take us another year to get to that range.
Yeah. Okay. And then just on the acquisition pipeline, are there any new and interesting markets that you're looking at in the past couple months, or is it mostly in existing markets where you're seeing opportunities?
It's mostly in existing markets. We continue to look at Phoenix because we'd like to diversify more into that market. We do like or have a renewed optimism in Houston because the oversupply that was being delivered has significantly been absorbed, and new supply coming into the Houston market is going to be very low for several years, so that will serve owners very well in those markets, those submarkets, I should say, if you're in well-positioned real estate there. So it's similar markets that we're in, but looking for a bit of diversification and really the best opportunities. So we always try to be opportunistic. So we continue to look at Dallas. If we think that's the best opportunity for us, we'll buy in Dallas. But looking to ultimately diversify into these other markets a bit more and beyond.
Great. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Mario.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Brad Sturges from Industrial Alliance. Brad, please go ahead.
Hi there.
Hey, Brad.
Just to follow up on the property internalization for a second, have any of the properties been moved over to the new internalized system at this stage, or when would the first phase be?
Yeah. Hi, Brad. Half the properties have been moved over onto the new platform, and the second wave commences next week.
Okay. And the plan was for the start of Q4, was that what I heard?
Well, we had previously indicated we hope to have it fully internalized by the end of the year or possibly the end of the first quarter of next year. At this point, we are feeling like we'll be this year for sure.
Okay.
So a little ahead of the schedule.
In terms of your Park 28 acquisition in Phoenix, I know you've only had it under ownership for a little bit of time, but just curious to know, given it's under lease-up or not quite stabilized yet, how the occupancy or the asset's been forming since you've acquired it.
Occupancy at Park 28?
It's moved up. It's in the low 90s now. Yeah. Yep. So it's getting there. I mean, it is an asset that's in the sort of the tail end of stabilization. But given that it's a relatively small asset in terms of number of units, we'll be able to move the needle probably, well, my hope is faster than we would some of the larger assets that are in lease up.
Okay. So generally, it's been performing along a line with the expectations since you acquired in June.
Yeah, right on track, yeah.
Okay. And then within the acquisitions you're looking at right now, would we see any more newly constructed non-stabilized assets within this sort of next bucket of potential acquisitions?
We continue to look at the newer assets. We are working on factoring in kind of a collection guarantee structure so that it just helps stabilize the asset in the initial months on stuff that we are looking at that's new. Again, looking to address and stabilize revenue collections for us out the gate, still enabling us to buy the best assets available at a given time.
Got it. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Dean Wilkinson from CIBC. Dean, please go ahead.
Thank you. Hey, everyone.
Hey, Dean.
I know you can't see it, but I'll give you some good news. You're flat on the day now.
Yay.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for that.
Okay, we're done. All my questions have been answered, but I can't hear quite as fast as Sam talks.
Sorry.
Can you give me the physical and leased on the TPC assets again?
Sure. Which period did you
As you are right now.
As I am right now.
Yep.
So as of today, Estates, Pure Estates, is 98 leased.
98
and 94,
leased.
98 leased and 94 physical.
Okay.
And Pure View is 98 leased.
Yep.
And 96 physical.
And 96 physical. So, okay. So the 80s are in the rearview mirror now.
That's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like.
We're cautiously optimistic about the corner having been turned, but obviously it has our entire focus, and we've been, you know, we're not sitting on our hands waiting for it to get better. We've been pulling every string and lever that we can to push to get there, and we feel like we will in the coming quarters. So that's where we're at today.
And looking at for that gap between physical and lease to close, assuming that there's no sort of bleed off of any of the existing tenants, that should happen by the end of the year then, or end of Q3?
I'm hoping by the end of Q3, to be honest with you, but it could be into Q4.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
That is everything for me. I'll hand it back.
Thank you, Dean.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Fred Blondeau from Eight Capital. Fred, please go ahead.
Thanks, and good morning in Vancouver. Just,
hey,
just a quick question, maybe for Sam. I was just wondering, if you do exclude the TPC assets, what would you expect in terms of same-store NOI growth for Q3 and Q4?
Excluding the two TPC assets?
Yeah.
I think we're looking, what, Scott, about 3-4%?
Yeah, I mean,
4%.
So we have take away property taxes. We have all four of those still under appeal from 2016. So all four San Antonio assets, including the two Pure Estates as well as the other two. So if you take away that, we may get those in Q3. We may get those in Q4. Hopefully we're looking still to get them in this year, the way it's looking. Without those two, as Sam mentioned, maybe at a normal property tax increase, 3-4%, as Sam mentioned, from a same store point of view.
That's San Antonio only.
For Park West and Brackridge only.
Sorry, for San Antonio. Sorry, yeah. Fred, did you mean across the entire portfolio or just San Antonio?
No, just these, like Pure View and Pure Estates.
Sorry, just excluding those across the entire portfolio?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, similar results. We're probably looking at 3-4. And then depending on how property taxes roll in versus when we get the appeals in and so forth. But
yeah.
3 to 4%.
Right. Okay. Okay, that's fair. And so overall, for an entire portfolio, what kind of same-store NOI growth should we expect for 2017? Overall, including these two. Yeah.
Including these two. Yeah. It's. I mean, we're not. I'd say lower because of the property tax situation right now, not
yep.
knowing when they're going to get all resolved. I would say somewhere closer to maybe the 1-2%.
Okay. 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 Perfect. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thanks. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, should you have a question, please press star followed by one. Your next question comes from Michael Smith from RBC Capital Markets. Michael, please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Just to clarify, the 1-2% for 2017, that would assume that you do not win your appeals on property tax?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Which means
we actually
expect to get something out of those appeals, so...
It's just
that's quite a conservative assertion.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, of the appeals, do you think you'll, like, win most of them or half of them, or is it, what's your sense?
Oh, we expect to get something on all of them. It just depends on how much. It could be in the hundreds of thousands. It could be $5,000 on a property. But we wouldn't go through an appeal process if we didn't think we'd get anything. So it just depends, like, on how much.
Okay. And so just switching gears, if I heard correctly on the acquisitions, you have properties under contract and you're in due diligence now to, I sort of got that sense from your comments that you expect to have the dry powder spent in the near term. Is that?
That's a fair assessment. We do have an asset under contract and we are looking closely and are fairly close on a couple of other assets that we're looking at. So we expect and certainly hope to have it placed in the immediate term. Certainly for the one we have under contract, we expect to be able to make some announcements on that in a few weeks.
Okay. And can you say which cities they're in, or do you want to keep, you know, without giving details of the assets, obviously, but...
We're in our target markets.
Okay, all right. So the target markets, but your existing markets, as you said earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And then just lastly on the property management internalization. So no longer 3% to external property manager. When you're stabilized and up and running everything internal. Do you expect that equivalent expense to be like between 2.25 and 2.5? Is that kind of where you think it'll land?
Yeah, I mean, based on our current budgets going forward, and just to mention, I think beginning October 1st, we don't expect to be paying any more property management fees to the third party.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still be working on internalizing some of the other stuff behind the scenes, but no more property management fees. So we, based on our current budget, we expect we can run it 2.5 to slightly below that as a percent of revenues, with it decreasing, going to a lower ratio as we continue to add more properties, even becoming more accretive below that 3%.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's it for me.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jimmy Shan from GMP Securities. Jimmy, please go ahead.
Thanks. Hey, Scott. I wonder if you could make it easy for me just on the property tax question. Because looking at year-over-year is a bit confusing, and then margin-wise, if you look at a margin, you know, it's subject to revenue changes as well. So wondered if you'd be willing to share, like, if all the appeals come in as you expect and then there is a 7% increase, like, what would be the dollar amount in property tax for 2017 based on the current portfolio?
I'll have to get that to you. I don't have that in front of me, Jimmy. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, if you're willing to share that, that'd be great.
Okay. I'll take a look, see if I can get one for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Matt Kornack from National Bank Financial. Matt, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. The macro environment has changed a fair bit in the last few months, and we have a dovish Fed and hawkish Bank of Canada. Have you seen, I mean, the comps in the U.S. are trading quite well. Have you seen more interest in property acquisitions? Is there cap rate compression as a result of people sort of breathing a sigh of relief on the Fed front, or is it steady as she goes?
I think it's been steady as she goes. I haven't seen compression per se in the marketplace.
Okay, and
the long rates are still right in line, if not even a notch below some of the stuff we got in recent times. So but that hasn't really impacted in terms of compression, but it certainly hasn't gone the other way either.
Fair enough. And in terms of rent growth, I mean, you've seen the impact of some of this new supply coming online. It sounds like it's harder now to put up new supply. Lenders are maybe more restrictive in terms of what they're going to finance. So do you anticipate rent to sort of stabilize at sort of 2 to 4%, or do you think we'll be back into a period because of the demand in the market where rents start to tick up into that sort of mid-single digits range again?
Are you talking, sorry, Matt, hi. Are you talking about overall revenues or rent?
Yeah, just rent growth within, yeah, rent growth within the markets in which you're operating.
Right.
We think we're going to see a return. Certainly, each market's a little different, I guess, is the first thing to say. I think we're going to see a return to a little higher rent growth, but over the long term, more conservative view would be in the 3% range is a good benchmark.
Okay, no, that's fair.
We thought in the next while, but long term, I think that's still pretty solid rent growth.
Yeah,
and I expect that to be the kind of the wheelhouse.
Fair enough. And then just final question with regards to some of the volatility on all these property tax items, et cetera. Just looking at Q3 and then Q4, sort of should we expect a big increase in Q3 and then a come down in Q4. I'm just trying to think in terms of how to look at earnings over the balance of the year and getting to that sort of stabilized full year result.
Yeah, so removing the appeals from the process, if you're looking at the same store Q3 over Q3, because Q3 was still under accrued, correct, it should be just like Q2, we'll have a larger increase there. But then come Q4, because we trued it up there in Q4 last year, that's what we should expect to see a decrease in property tax expense and a better NOI, same store to same store.
Okay, fair. That's great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
There are no further questions at this time. Please proceed.
Thank you, operator. On behalf of Samantha, Scott, Andrew, and the entire Pure Multifamily Management team, we'd like to thank you all for spending time with us today. Please let us know if you have any other questions about today's call and or about our portfolio, and feel free to contact us at any time. Thank you.